online radio at its best. Online radio at its best.
Hey, 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 Guten Tag.
It's your resident map of the South.
Let's do this.
I'm telling you, I am first very honored that you would join me tonight.
He has a very limited time slot, so we want to bring in Mr. Alan Sarrow right away.
Hey, how are you, Kathleen?
You know what? I'm going to make you do what it do, baby.
Man, what's crack-a-lackin', baby? What's crack-a-lackin'?
It's time for the serious side of the Jay Brown Show.
Don't try to call me out, princess. You can take your love and true purpose and stick it. She's a bitch.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
concierge medicine, in its simplest terms, is nothing more than a return to private medicine, a return to the days of Marcus Welby, where a patient came in, saw Marcus Welby, paid him for his visit, and left. Now, Marcus Welby got enough cash from enough patients that if somebody came in and couldn't afford care, he'd get a chicken, or maybe he'd get nothing. It all came out in the wash. What happened over the past 40 years is the third-party payers have curbed that direct financial relationship where a patient is a consumer and they paid the doctor for the visit. And what concierge medicine does is simply restore that balance. There are different ways of payment. Sometimes people pay an annual retainer fee in a concierge practice, or they may pay a monthly fee, but it's nothing more than returning to a direct financial relationship with a doctor.
Well, welcome back. That clip right there describes concierge medicine, simply stated, I must add. Today we have one of the top 100 concierge doctors in the U.S. with us, Dr. Cheryl Bryant-Bruce, founder of the Elite Personal Physician Services. She is also in the top 100 family physicians. She is also the professional that was definitely approached in the case of Michael Jackson for professional interpretation. She has been on the daytime hit TV show, The Doctors. She has received numerous accolades that has definitely given her the representation that she needs. Today, she is an expert in concierge holistic wellness, and we are so happy that she is with us today as she is going to share with us her life's journey of passion, pain, and pleasure. I want you to welcome tonight Dr. Cheryl Bryant-Bruce.
Thank you very much for that nice, warm welcome, Princess Dahlia. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Oh, it is a pleasure to have you. How has everything been for you today? I know you've been very busy.
Well, it's actually been pretty hectic because I've just recently relocated to the Monterey Bay Area. And so, you know, moving is always a challenge. So it's been hectic, but it's absolutely a wonderful area, and it's a beautiful day here in California.
Wow. Well, you know, today in Detroit, we had record-breaking warm weather today. We had 60-degree weather. Yeah. So I have to say I'm pretty excited about that. Of course, it wasn't like it is in California, I'm sure, but we had some nice weather today. We could take our big coats off today. So it was pretty good. It's a huge blessing. It's a huge blessing, and we've been hit pretty hard this year, so hopefully spring is not teasing us, but it's here to stay. Wow. Well, you know, I have had just a wonderful time looking on the internet, really delving into your life.
Very public, isn't it?
Wow. I tell you, that is to say the least, you know.
It's been a very colorful journey.
Jeez. You know, talk about falling and rising before men. I mean, that is your life. You have fallen, and you are on the incline and still on the journey, as you say. You say it has not been peaches and cream. You know, many people are suffering from so much self-humiliation, and they don't want to face the public because of social status as a result of everything they're going through right now in their life. But as you've been going through your journey, it was very public. I mean, I don't know how.
There was a period of time when it felt like we were living our lives under a microscope, and I mean, there have been extreme highs and there have been extreme lows.
Wow. And the way you've pushed past, just to share with our listeners, we have quite a bit that I really want to just bring out today as we cover your journey. I want you to tell me first about February 1995.
Wow, okay. those are pretty dramatic times for us. We hit the media. We had actually been going through a lot prior to that because, it's very well documented in public record. We do have a gag order, so I won't be saying anything that is not already documented. But we had a child known to the rest of the world as Baby Gregory, who had a rare liver disorder called Alagille syndrome. And through a series of events, my child had fallen off of the bed while I was changing his diaper. I accidentally pulled him off of the bed because he was laying on the edge of my bathroom, and when I turned around, it flipped him off of the bed. And he ended up with a head injury. And we had been going through some adverse events with the hospital. They weren't liking me. I wasn't liking them. Ended up quite being taken out on the child because they ended up accusing us of child abuse and saying that the child had shaken baby because he had had some bleeding in his head. But they noted that he had had bleeding in his head on multiple occasions, and they saw bleeding in his eye grounds that they had said was shaken baby syndrome definitively. And the child had never been shaken. He was just a little tiny fellow and had never been shaken, basically. He had been kangarooed on my chest his entire life, with the exception of a few minutes here and a few minutes there.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up, the state took him from us. The state of Tennessee took him from us. Wow. And there was a two-year battle where we tried to prove to them that we hadn't done anything to the child, and that indeed, this disorder that he had, the Alagille syndrome, was the cause of the symptoms that they were seeing. The fall off of the bed had actually just been kind of the thing that really brought it to the forefront, to have his head looked at. And we really, really tried to push them to take a further look at him because we knew something else was going on underlying, and we're like, while you're busy accusing us of child abuse, this child is getting sicker and sicker and damage is being done and you're not attending to what's going on. And after 2 years of watching the child go downhill, watching my sweet little baby basically dying in the hands of the state of Tennessee and the hospital that had care of him, I came to Christmas and realized if I did not do something, I was never going to see a Christmas with my child. And my husband talked me out of doing anything at that particular time. But over the next 2 months, we saw things getting worse, going downhill. We would visit the baby, and he would be sick and, wouldn't have been taken for medical care. And so finally he conceded, okay, we do have to do something. And so we went in, and we took the child out of state custody. Essentially, I kidnapped my own child and took him from the state of Tennessee over to Atlanta, Georgia, to Eggleston Children's Hospital, where he was seen and properly evaluated. And I was arrested in February 9th. That was the date that I took him. And that night I was arrested at his bedside, got to go to jail. How mama always tells you, make sure you have clean drawers on.
Yes, yes, yes.
Just in case you fall out the street. But what your mama didn't tell you was when you go to jail, they have to keep white drawers, okay?
Wow.
And they took them from me.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
To make sure to clean white drawers. I'm going to get arrested.
Like, don't put on fancy Victoria's Secret ones. You've got to be prepared, just in case.
That's right. Your cute little colorful thong isn't going to come.
It's not going to work.
That's not going to do it.
Wow. So you went to jail. And I was reading the article that Mark Silk wrote in 1996.
That was an amazing article.
Oh, my gosh. I was inundated in it. I'm just, you know, just reading and reading and reading. And I love how he said, a child shall lead them.
Yes.
As he titled it.
It was a beautiful article. I mean, you know, having gone through it all and trying in my own mind to encapsulate it, I am writing a book. And, you know, even writing a book, it's like, oh, my gosh, there's so much to say and trying to get it all condensed for one book. And he condensed it into this one article and told the story. And I was just amazed when I read it. It brought me to tears.
Wow. Wow. Well, you know, your entire story, I want to say, baby Gregory Bryant Bruce is a hero. You're a hero. Your family's, you are heroes. He's dedicated his life, if you would, to the development of the Gregory Center for Exceptional Children and Families. And today, that center is still going. Impactful. How would you describe the impact that it has had on the children and families that you've been able to help?
Well, we've been able to do a lot of good work. Initially, we had a physical center where children could come in, and some amazing things happened at that center. It was in Atlanta, and we started it. It was really pretty interesting because I had $24 in my pocket, literally.
Wow.
And I had passed this clinic, you know, every day for months and months. And on that particular day, I looked at the clinic, and I knew that that was where we had to open the Gregory Center and open Alpha Omega Family Medical Center. And so with $24 in my pocket, I drove up there, took the number to the building, and assumed a $2,500 lease. And from the day that we hadn't even opened yet, actually. We were trying to move furniture into the building. And when we arrived that morning, there were people sitting on the doorstep.
Wow.
A friend of mine, Peggy Miller, who was our Legal Defense Fund secretary treasurer, she had pushed me to start the Gregory Center. And we had been kind of conceptualizing what it would be. And there were several parents who had children with disabilities who met with me and talked about what they would need. And this was just kind of a general discussion. We hadn't even gotten the Gregory Center off the ground. This was even before we got the location. And somehow or other, it was leaked to the press that we had started this organization. And they came out that night. All of the people who were involved racing over to my house because, I mean, it caught us completely off guard. We were called and said, you know, we'd like to do a story on the Gregory Center. And I'm going, oh, my gosh, how did you find out about it? And they said, well, can we come and do a story? Sure. When would you like to come? Oh, in about a half hour. Well, my house is a wreck. So I'm like, called everybody that was involved in it. You know, one lady was out in her yard in her curlers and, you know, the kids, and everybody came over, and we kind of threw things together for this interview. And the interview was on the 5 o'clock news, and by 11 o'clock, I had to turn off my phone lines because the phones were just ringing off the hook with people who had needs and wanted help. And it has kind of been like that. I'm not sure how many visitors we've had now, but it's well over a million visitors to the Gregory Center website. And we have touched people all over the world, from assisting in getting artificial limbs for a child in Togo, a wheelchair for a child in Malaysia, you know, wheelchairs throughout the continent here. And there was our initial child, our first child that we took into the Gregory Center, Cheyenne Fisher, was a little girl who had a rare syndrome also called Pfeiffer syndrome. And she was our first child, and we had her for several years. At one point, we closed the Gregory Center down because Gregory had passed away, and I couldn't do it. Emotionally, I couldn't do it. And the rest of the Gregory Center supporters who were so integrally involved with Gregory, they're like, you know what, we need to take a breather because we're hurting and we can't do this either and we can't do it without you. So we shut it down for 2 years, and it reopened when one night Mrs. Fisher called and said, Cheyenne is in desperate condition, and unless we get her up to, I believe it was Minnesota, to get a surgery, there's only one surgeon in the country who can do this, and unless we can get her up there, she's going to die. And
oh, wow.
Several children, and, you know, the father had left the family, and she was in Atlanta but couldn't access enough resources to get her child taken care of and didn't feel comfortable with what she was working with. And so she called me in California and said, I need your help. 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm on the phone trying to call Angel Flight and coordinate this trip for her. And the reward for that was Cheyenne, who had had a trach the entire time I had known her, several months later called me back. And I'm getting teary even just thinking about it. She called me back as a young teenager. And she was a bossy little girl, right? And I always thought if she had a voice, she would have this big, huge, booming, rough, commanding voice. I get this call on the phone, and there's this beautiful, tinkling little voice, and she says, do you know who this is? And I'm like, no. She said, this is Cheyenne Fisher. And I almost fell on the floor.
Oh.
Those are the kinds of things that we've done, and we did that starting with $24 in our pocket, and then a grant from the Holyfields, from Janice Holyfield, for $5,000 that basically carried us for years. We made that stretch for years. And because we did, the Clinton administration tapped on us and asked us to be on the Disability Advisory Committee at that time during his administration. And then subsequently, the Bush administration asked us to be a part of their convention.
Wow. And can you say that again? How much did you have in your pocket when you kept dreaming? when you had a vision in
as I signed the lease, I thought to myself, oh, I must be losing my mind. Mm. But I felt that calling. You know, I mean, I had passed that building 100 times if I had passed it once, and I always looked at it and said, oh, that would be a great place for a clinic, and kept driving and never thought twice about it. But on that day, with $24 in my pocket, I felt a calling that it was time and that I needed to take that lease.
Wow. Absolutely.
No idea where it was going to come from. I had to.
But you know what? That's
I wasn't even sure how I was going to pay my own rent, nevertheless, on building.
And you know what? That is going beyond the traditional processes that are set before us and really following our hearts.
Well, there's never been anything traditional about the world.
I would say not. I mean, even just with, and it's amazing because like I say, he's a hero. Baby Gregory is a hero. I mean, you were simply martyred by, I mean, even Dateline, for God's sake. Dateline, day one, I mean, you got, I mean, they tried to just martyr you and your family. And look at what came as a result of your triumph and you pushing through, because you could have given up.
Yeah, well, you know, I couldn't. There was never a moment when
wow.
entered my mind that I could give up. He was my child.
Wow. And we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back after this. Stay tuned, everyone. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with Dr. Cheryl Bryant Bruce. This is just awesome.
1 month.
7 years.
10 years.
12 years.
15 years.
23 years.
30 years.
Our customers have been with us an average of 15 years, nearly half for more than 20. We give them an experienced staff, the financial help they want and need, and hundreds of branch and ATM locations. Most branches open Saturday.
40 years, going on 41.
Comerica, we listen, we understand, we make it work.
Rewind!
I want you to really take an account for how much value is that versus your happiness. A lot of what you're holding on to is the reason for the stress in your life, reason for the depressions that you're going through, what you're feeling. It's because you're holding on to what you need to let go.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network. Network.
Are you looking to grow your business or brand? You know that marketing is key, and looking for an effective marketing opportunity? Well, look no further. You can become a proud sponsor for two of the hottest networks here on VTR, with over 50,000 listeners via VTR, iTunes, and podcasts, and access to over 35 million people globally via TV and marketing brochures, as well as the Global Transformation Tour. You can advertise for a fraction of the cost, as it would be anywhere else. Receive production materials and so much more. Don't miss this opportunity of a lifetime. To find out more, email bgradio@bountifulgroup.com. That's bgradio@bountifulgroup.com. Or call 248-760-3340. That's 248-760-3340. Call now. Wow. Well, we're back live with Dr. Cheryl Bryant Bruce. And before we had gone to break, we were sharing about her baby hero, young Gregory. And baby Gregory is, that is how he is known nationally around the world. And, you know, Dr. Bruce, at what I see online, I hear your triumph and how your family has, you've gracefully gone through what you needed to go through to push to the other side. Today, we talk about yesterday, how they tried to martyr you in the tabloids, and you've been to jail, and you've done all of those things. Today, wow, you're an expert concierge, holistic wellness doctor. You've been on Access Hollywood, CNN, CBS, for all the good, for some good, talking about your profession. You've been on The Doctors, and I love that show, by the way. And I simply love that show. And then, I mean, Time Magazine votes you 100 of one of the 100 most influential people in the world. Wow. Absolutely awesome. I'd say your journey has it's been worth the journey. I would say. What say you about your journey? How would you best describe your journey to your life's full potential, your true purpose that so many people are trying to seek?
I mean, I think it's been an incredible journey. It's been an incredible growth experience. And, I mean, you know, like I said, there have been some incredible highs and incredible lows.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
In all and, line, I've mm-hmm. been to not knowing where my next meal was going to come from, but making sure that my kids got fed whatever I had to.
Wow.
I have, you know, been to huge homes and you know, having all of the nice trappings, being in some of the best places, hobnobbing with some of the best people. You know, we've been to both ends of the spectrum, and the journey has been rich. And I think that the thing about it was, like I said, there have been just some tremendous lows, but those low periods were what allowed us to really appreciate the highs. Because, I mean, you know, everybody's at their best when everything is going good,
mm-hmm.
but you're Gregory, as you said, was just, you know, he's a hero. He's the hero.
Mm-hmm.
Taught me how to get up with grace. He taught me how to struggle through, and he taught me how to appreciate life minute by minute, 1 second at a time.
Wow.
He taught me how to give. We all think we know how to give, but I had the chance to really experience pure love, you know, unadulterated love, where he was just giving love, you know, every minute of his life. It didn't matter how poorly he might be feeling. I mean, he spent a lot of his young life in pain, a good majority of it, but he was always pleasant, and he always was giving that sense of peace. You know, people would approach us on the streets and want to touch him. You know, there was a woman that came and attended his funeral, and she was a bag lady. And I had, you know, I didn't know her, but she knew us because she had watched him in the grocery store when we would come into the grocery store. And, you know, she told a tale of having been near suicide one day and seeing him come in. And she said he just looked at her, and she could see that he was in pain, but, you know, his look was such one of peace. And give her that smile. It was as if he sensed her pain, and she said it changed her life.
Wow. I think about a lot of people that are really suffering today, as I said earlier, and it's amazing, in spite of what has happened in Japan, in spite of what has happened thus far in so many people's lives, we would think that we would kind of get it that there has to be something else that we must do, that giving thanks that you're talking about, the greater love that you discovered, that you realized, I should say, not you realized through baby Gregory, your son. This enlightenment. I mean, I was talking with someone today, and they could not come up with anything to be thankful for. Even looking at what happened in Japan and all of the people that are suffering in such a great way right now that really probably can't see a reason to give thanks, I very much am inspired by your story and how you gracefully pushed past all of the limitations and hardships that were given to you, and you pushed past the limitations of that would normally stand before us and hold up a big wall. You are absolutely, I just love you this day. You are absolutely awesome.
Well, I mean, I think one of the things about me has always been, you know, what did it say? Let your haters be your motivators. I've always won. If you want to see me do something, tell me I can't. Watch how quickly I do. And I think that you kind of have to take that approach. There is no such thing as can't. You know, you can do whatever you set your mind to, except maybe on some days winning the lottery, you know. But you can do so much more than you think that you're capable of. And it's a matter of committing yourself to doing it. And I think that one of the things that happens with people, everybody says, oh, well, you know, people are afraid of failure. People aren't afraid of failure. People are afraid of success.
Yeah.
And we spend a lot of time sabotaging our own successes and saying what we can't do and, well, you know, I got knocked down, so I can't get up. But unless you're dead, you can get up. So just get up.
Get up.
Get up.
And let nothing hold you back.
Yeah, we had a 1224 rule in our house. And my mother said, well, what's the 1224 rule? Our rule during that period of time when we had Gregory and we were going through so much was that you could have a bad day. You could feel sad. You could feel depressed. You could feel discouraged. You had 12 hours to get that in control. You could be down 12 hours. You best be back up again. 24 hours, you were allowed to be sick. It's like everybody, you know, falls down, catches a cold, whatever, and just needs a break, needs to lay out for a minute. 24 hours, you had to be better. You had to be over it. You had to pick yourself up by the bootstraps and move on. We didn't have time to be depressed. We didn't have time to be sick. And my mother said, well, what happens if after 24 hours you're still sick? I'm like, you didn't hear the first part of the rule. You know, well, 24, and we don't have time for the rest.
Okay, give no credence to feeling bad. Just push past it, and it really depends on how we perceive what we're going through. How are we going to look at it? That's right. That's right.
I mean, you know, this tiny, frail little child, Gregory was 32 pounds when he passed away at the age of 10. He was a tiny little fellow. But even on his very last day, you know, hospice had come in, they'd given us the morphine and everything, and they're like, oh, you can put him out of his misery, you know, he doesn't have to feel any pain, he doesn't have to know anything. Even on his last day, he wanted to be cognizant and present the entire time. So he would literally take just a tip of the morphine on his tongue, just enough to dull the pain, so that he could be a part of life until it was done.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
So when you spend a lifetime, and I mean those 10 years for us were a lifetime, when you spend a lifetime living with that kind of appreciation of life, you see the world through his eyes, and no matter what's going on, everything is beautiful. You know, everything is pristine. Everything is as it should be. And even the bad has meaning because it's building you towards something better.
Wow. That, you know, that is the portion that individuals don't get. We want it fast. We want it super fast. And a lot of times people give up because they believe that what is necessary in the journey, which a lot of people are uncognizant of that, they feel that what is necessary is not necessary, and they try to fight against it. But it really is that turmoil, that adversity is our strength. It's our seed for what there is to be gained on the other side. But
absolutely. I mean, it's kind of like with a butterfly. If a butterfly comes as a caterpillar, and then it starts to develop within a cocoon, and soon it gets to a point where its wings and such are ready to come out of the cocoon and stretch so the butterfly can fly. But before this happens, it goes through this process of struggling to break free of that cocoon. And in that struggle, it gains strength. It needs that struggle to push the fluids through its veins to allow those beautiful wings to emerge strong enough for it to fly. And if you try to assist the butterfly by lessening its struggle, by cutting the cocoon open for the butterfly is crippled for life. It will never fly because it never strengthened its wings. And people are much the same way. If we don't go through the trials and tribulations, we never become strong enough to be what we can be and to reach our purpose. And so when we're going through these struggles and we feel like, oh, why me? I can't do this. You know, it's time to dig deep and know that you can do it. And that on the other side of it, there's something greater.
Wow. And that is so, I talk about the philosophy of spiritual pregnancy, and it's parallel to natural pregnancy. I always say, the women, we go through what we go through with grace. We love it. We feel it. And we know that we're going to go through pain, but we still come here and say we want a baby. And we'll go through, and we may want five or ten.
Mother Nature has a way of making that happen, because after that first baby, you remember that.
Right.
That those endorphins kick in, and you will remember what that was really like until that second set of labor pain hits you on the second baby, and you're like,
why did I do this?
I need to do this again.
And that's what makes it so challenging in life, because we... Well, I'm not going to say unfortunately. Life's process is different because it is intangible, and you know what? We just have to rough it through. Well, you know what? Dr. Bryant, I totally and thoroughly enjoyed your words of inspiration tonight. You are really someone that I believe that we all can very strongly an example from, and I want everyone who's listening to just continue, I mean, replay this over and over again. I mean, your triumph has yielded you a life of fulfillment, and I know, as you said, I'm still on my journey.
Yeah, I'm in process, and I mean, the thing to realize is that there will always be ups and downs in life, and the higher your highs, the lower
you're low. That's right.
Have farther to fall. But it is a journey, and it is a process. And when that process stops, and
mm-hmm.
when there are no longer challenges, it's because you're dead, okay?
Wow. Wow. I you know what? This was so awesome. You know, we're only on here for an hour, and I wish I could just stay much longer. I want you to share with everyone how can they reach you. People need to come to you. I want everyone to, I want you to share with them your website, information, all of that great stuff.
Well, I have several websites, actually. you can reach me. One of the easiest ways to reach me is by going to www.thecelebritydoc.com, and that's thecelebritydoc as in Charlie, .com, thecelebritydoc.com. And it has links to my other websites, but I can also be found at elitepersonalphysician.com or gregorycenter.org.
And can people still donate to the center?
People can always donate to the center. There is an address listed on the website for the Gregory Center, and they can send in a check to the address. There's a PayPal button, but the PayPal button isn't functioning effectively right now, so they would need to send a donation in. But, yeah, absolutely, we always need donations, and the donations
awesome.
Go directly to the children.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
We can be reached. We can be reached by calling, 877-744-2873, and that spells out 877-744-CURE.
Wow, I just want to say thank you for coming on the True Purpose Development Show, and I would hope that you would come and join me again. You are welcome anytime.
I would love to.
Definitely. And everyone, and you're welcome to stay on. We've got more to come. We are just blessed by your presence tonight. We'll be right back after this brief break.
For today's study word, we have Nirvana, that's N-I-R-V-A-N-A, the ineffable ultimate in which one has attained disinterested wisdom and compassion. This word is often used in Buddhism, the practice of Buddhism. Nirvana, Nirvana, wisdom and compassion. Ultimately attained. Study.
Well, hello, Ms. Regina Waller.
Hello.
First of all, I want to thank you for taking the class, Credit and Business Development course, offered by Bountiful Opportunities Group. And I would love to hear about your experience here in the class. So I want to ask you just a few questions about this. How have you enjoyed the Credit and Business Development course?
Oh, Princess, oh dear, how this course changed my life. I came in with a credit score of 525, and I'm leaving with a credit score of 7.0. Hallelujah. Yeah.
How long have you been taking this class?
Maybe 4 or 5 weeks now.
Wow. Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah.
In that amount of time, nearly 200 points, your credit score has increased.
Yes.
And what would you say attributed to that increase?
I would say the knowledge that you gave me, which I never known anything about until the second week of this class.
Now, you had some interesting things that took place when you went to implement the concept and the knowledge that was given to you in the class. Would you like to share some of that?
Yes. My credit union, whom I've been dealing with for maybe 20 years now, they booted me out the office saying, okay, we'll take care of this. 3 weeks later, no answer. I went to the bank. The representative in the back, she said, you know, it wasn't no such thing. I said, well, I refuse to leave because I know what you told me and what I learned in this course and what to say. And I used that knowledge with that representative, and you taught me how to be my own bank. And I thank you for that, and I just hope it's very successful in the future for other people to come in and get the same reward that I have.
Thank you. tornado blew around my roof before you came. Excuse the mess it made, it usually doesn't rain in Southern California, much like Arizona. My eyes don't shed tears before they pour when I'm thinking about you. Ooh, no, 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 I've been thinking about you. You, no, 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 I've been thinking about you. Do you think about me still? Do you, do you? I just thought you were cool enough to kick it. Got a beach house I could sell you in Idaho. Since you think I don't love you, I just thought you were cute. That's why I kiss you. Got a fighter jet, I don't get to fly it. Though I'm lying down thinking about you. Ooh, no, 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 I've been thinking about you. You, no, 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 I've been thinking about you. Do you think about me still? Do you, do you?
Show.
I'm about to dive in.
Whoa. I was thinking about taking a couple laps. I just want to dive in.
Yeah.
Dive in.
Yeah. Splash. Baby girl, that's your waterfall. Feel it coming down on me. So crazy. Keep on talking, girl, you got me wanting to go deeper than you'll ever know. Wanting to feel the way you blow. Ooh, you got that look up in your eyes. What we about to do ain't no surprise. I'm about to dive in. Baby girl, hold your breath. We about to get so wet. Swimming in your body, let me dive. Watch me stroll, play.
I love music, and every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move, it makes me want to have fun, but it's something about this joint right here, it makes me want to...
Keep your head up.
was afraid and wanted you to leave, but you stayed right here by my side. You never let me go, you always stayed around.
Wanna show you how much I'm dedicated to you. Wanna show you how much I will forever be true. Wanna show you how much you got your girl feeling good. Wanna show you how much you understood. Wanna show you how much I value what you say. Not only are you loyal, you're patient with me, babe. Wanna show you how much I really care about your heart.
Say how it used to be.
Loving you, it's really
the key.
Tonight. Thanks for listening, everyone. Don't forget to download, listen, and share on your iPod and iTunes, as well as follow me here on BTR, Facebook, and Twitter, LinkedIn as well. Additionally, follow BG True Purpose on Twitter and the Global World Food True Purpose Movement on Facebook. I'm Dr. Princess Adelia, your talk show host, executive producer for the True Purpose Development Show, your True Purpose Life Coach, here each week with a mission and purpose to help you step by step to fruition to realize your life's true purpose, a life of total fulfillment in mind, body, soul, and spirit, which is what you are. Have a great and fantastic week. I love you.